This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you. DC for you.
Todd, it's the most thankful time of year again, and I am thankful for Thanksgiving episodes of all my favorite sitcoms.
I'm trying to think of a famous Thanksgiving episode. As God is my witness, I thought Dan DiDio could fly. That's about all I can do.
That's good enough. Hey, for all we know, Dan DiDio can fly. Now that's probably not true at all. No. Now we've kind of reached the end of our first season here, Todd. It's been quite a ride.
DC for You season one comes to a close with a very special Thanksgiving episode of DC for You, Reasons to Be Thankful.
I don't know if it'll be as good as the Slapsgiving episodes of How I Met Your Mother, but we'll try. There will be no
That's not a show I have a familiarity with. That's a show for millennials.
Yes, as I am one. But okay, Gen Xer, we're gonna get this going. But yes, there's lots of things to be thankful for here at the end. And of course, we hope you're all thankful for DC4U's existence, because it's really for the people that we do this. We do it so that you guys can learn about some of the great things happening with DC Comics, some of the things from the past, and some of the stuff that's happening right now. And I think that's a good place for us to close out this season, is to talk about what we are thankful for from DC Comics this year in 2019. And there is a litany of things to be thankful for, and narrowing down my list to be manageable so that people don't sit here for 3 hours was kind of difficult, but I do got a pretty manageable list. And one thing, I don't know about you, Todd, but I think that Brian Bendis's time on Superman Action Comics, and basically him ushering along his own line at DC, which is escaping me now, the name.
Wonder Comics.
Yes, Wonder Comics, which was kind of an odd name for him to pick for it. But, you know, it gave us Young Justice and Naomi, which are like two of my favorite books this year. And, of course, Event Leviathan, which just wrapped up and is kind of segueing into a whole new side of DC Comics storytelling. The guy is just killing it on Superman, and I am very thankful that DC signed him exclusive.
I am thankful as well. Certainly the numbers have been strong, the quality of books and consistency of books, but most of all, I'm thankful that he used his enormous clout to bring back the Legion of Superheroes within the pages of Superman, and then the Legion of Superheroes books, both the Millennium and then the titular Legion book. I am very happy with the quality I have read so far, although I'm worried that issue two will be late because of Ryan Sook reasons, but I'm just thankful to have a Legion in a monthly book and to have a new, actually two new, Legion of Superheroes plastic rings, so I'm very happy about that.
Nice. I was very happy that you got you a platinum ring. That was awesome.
It was a very kind gesture by my LCS, which... Not everybody I know is a fan of that particular LCS, but they usually do me right. Usually.
Well, that's the most important thing in finding a local comic shop, is making sure that they treat you and their other folks right. So I'm happy. I'm very happy for you. Also very happy to say that I loved that first issue of Legion.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
a little goofy, intentionally so, and but definitely capturing the spirit of the young teenagers and how fun it can be. And just imagine being a superpowered teenager with all your friends. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to even more and finding out something about these new characters, these new twists on the established Legion, as well as the new characters they're bringing in, the new Metropolis, and kind of the status quo of the Earth is pretty interesting to me. And what we're going to do with the Aquaman's trident, is it going to restore the oceans, restore the planet? We'll find out.
Yeah, there's so much happening in that first issue, and at first it was, if you follow me on Instagram, you guys know that I've already posted this up, but at first the code names thing was kind of bothering me because I did not expect him to kick things off with the Karate Kid, but the quirky script very quickly turned it around, and John Kent being as the POV character for us, stroke of absolute brilliance. It was so much fun to read. I can't wait for issue two. And speaking of things that were really great to read and I can't wait for their second issue, the next thing that I am thankful for out of DC this year is Black Label, because it gave us several really good books, but the one that's really sticking out to me right now is The Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage. Issue one just came out this month. I sat down and read it the other night. It's in a prestige format, so it's, you know, huge. And there's a ton of content in there. It's written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz. My God, this reignited my love of this character. It was a hard reminder of just why he was such a hit with me back in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon days. And getting to read him as written by Lemire, it felt just so perfect. He is basically, like, if you're familiar with Watchmen, he is the inspiration, or it was the prototype for the character of Rorschach. But where Rorschach is a far right character, the Question seems to be more left, at least in this iteration of him. And it is so much fun to read. I absolutely adore the fact that DC is letting their actual named characters, some of their main continuity characters, be used in more adult-oriented books. And
Having Black Label in general has been pretty welcome. It's going to do a lot of things, but the big boon I feel we're getting are adult versions of Batman or Harley Quinn. And I don't mean like adult porno, but I mean full on.
Or do we?
Classic, ultra violent, and explicit language, and just very dark looks at those. Almost, I won't say Vertigo-esque, but what if there was a Batman in the Vertigo universe? And that's what it kind of felt like with the Black Label. I forget the name of the book, but it was Azzarello and Rizzo.
Batman Damned.
That's it. Bat Schlong. I forgot about that. We talked about that. I'm not grateful for that, but hey, somebody is out there.
Hey, there was a bat dick in a book. If you can find a first printing or an only printing copy of issue one, you can get you some bat dong. Or you can probably peruse Google. I'm sure the image is out there somewhere. That one actually was pretty good. Not my favorite of the Black Label titles, but another thing Black Label is doing is continuing to usher along the Sandman universe. So if people are, you know, into that, if they were following it when Vertigo relaunched it, it's just moving right over to Black Label and continuing on its merry way.
It's basically Vertigo in everything but name, honestly.
Yeah, they just did it to make it easier for, I guess, for parents to be able to tell what's a mature reader's title and what isn't. And if it carries that Black Label, chances are it's going to be for the ages of 17 and up. So that's
right.
I think that was a nice bit of streamlining, and I'm glad to see that the creativity that was being launched under Vertigo is not going away, because we still have pop-up imprints.
Hill House Comics.
Yeah, the Hill House Comics are going. They just launched several books out of their line recently, just this month, and then Young Animal kind of came back with a new Green Lantern book called Far Sector. I picked up issue one of that, and you know, the character work in it is not bad. The plot does seem, you know, on the surface like something I maybe have seen before, but the Jamal Campbell art,
well, yeah,
is mind-blowingly good.
You knew that was going to be good though because of Naomi.
Yes, seeing like the artwork on Naomi was just like jaw-droppingly great, and then seeing Jamal move over to do a Green Lantern book, yeah, sign me up for that.
They are talking about that. Is that the DC 5.0? I'm not sure. We'll have to see. But just a different take in Young Animal, which admittedly is really not created for me, and that's okay, is pushing forward some new concepts and bringing life to the classics like Doom Patrol. So, again, it's not necessarily for me, but I'm looking forward to checking out in some form or fashion, maybe if it ever hits DC Universe. I'll check this book out.
You know, that's a good segue into another thing that I think we are both very thankful for its existence, and that is DC Universe. The year 2019 has kind of really belonged to them for us, because the comics library is no longer a curated thing. It is just an ever-expanding thing, and my God, is it ever loaded right now. Just this week alone, I was reading that classic Batman from Jim Starlin from Starlin and Aparo, The Ten Nights of the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Classic stuff. KG Beast, right?
Yeah, KG Beast introduction. It was a great story. Just a grounded take on Batman that we haven't seen much of in recent years. And it was nice and refreshing to go back and get that kind of like stripped down version of the character. And also just this week, I binge read like a bunch of Mark Waid's Flash run, finishing up The Return of Barry Allen, which was another tremendous read. And I'm able to just continue on right from where that ends and on into the next story.
Yes. Well, and yeah, you have all of the trades, right? But they're also on DCU.
Exactly. All of that's on DC Universe, so I don't have to go and grab the trades out. I can just pull them up on the app and read away. And I mean, so much of the post-crisis DC Universe has been digitized and is on DC Universe, but they're also digitizing now. A lot of Golden Age stuff is popping up on there. Like every week, a new issue of the Golden Age Superman drops. They've actually got the House of Mystery title has been populating in. That was something I didn't expect.
House of Mystery and House of Secrets.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll get more Silver Age, Bronze Age, Joan Hex. I mean, there's some classics that people have forgotten all about that are going to turn up. And that's one thing I'm certainly grateful for, is the expansion and fine-tuning of their comics library, not the rotational model, which they had threatened on us, but we all kind of raised a stink, and they hurt us, because it's going to be the perpetual library. And for what you and I are paying for DCU, second year is going to be $60 for me. Like, that's a steal for all of those comics, plus comics that are just hitting a year old. So Doomsday Clock, what, number 7 is coming up?
I think so. All these 8.
Yeah, 8 I read. I think I read about 2. It's staggering how much comics you're going to get for the money. Works out to $5 a month, really, which is the price of a new comic book.
And it's not just comics that you're getting on there. You're also getting like some really great shows. I mean, Young Justice came back with the Thunder. It was amazing. And we were all, you know, I admit we were all a little tepid about Titans going into it. But
right, that trailer did it no favors. But
then season one was largely real good. Season two has just been balls to the wall, outstanding. They really amped it up in like the best possible way. And yet again, another live action version of Deathstroke that hits it right out of the park.
Yeah. Cy Morales is great as Deathstroke.
Yeah, he is.
One of the best things going on in that show.
And we're finally getting Nightwing. It's happening, and that costume looks absolutely perfect. I was so happy that turned out the way it did. I can't wait to watch the season finale and see that just happen on screen. Nightwing versus Deathstroke. I've been waiting all season for this.
Although somebody's going to die on Friday, who do you think it's going to be?
Man, I'm torn between like two possibilities, either Jason Todd or Ravager.
Mm.
I think it'll probably be Ravager though.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that kind of would fit, you know, the character who's torn between and has to choose one way and then a sacrifice. We'll see. We'll see. I'm hoping it's not Donna Troy. I'm really hoping it's not Don Granger / Dove. So let's find out for no reason other than it's a fantastic character, right?
Absolutely. And could it be Hawk, though? I think Hawk is actually another strong possibility.
His arc this year and going all over the place, dark to light. We'll see, but excited for Nightwing. Definitely got the costume right. We actually have a live-action Nightwing canonical, not a fan film. It's actually used. If only we get the Titans in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
You know, the talk is that Stargirl, who's going to be making her debut on the DC Universe app, is actually going to be on Crisis. Like, that's going to be her first appearance. As
that's the rumor. We'll see.
It was kind of surprising that the CW is going to be airing episodes of Stargirl the day after DC Universe has them. I was a bit surprised at that, but
That is a bit of news, and I'm sure that'll be on the rundown on the HTF in a few weeks. But
sure,
for now, we're breaking that news to you, and I guess I'm thankful for that. Perhaps that's going to be the way things are going to be in the future with DCU and the CW TV series. We'll find out, because this one hopefully will have some close ties with the rest of the Arrowverse. Titans set up in a different continuity or alternate Earth that's not going to be affected by Crisis, especially because this Bruce Wayne doesn't seem to be compatible. Grandpa Bruce Wayne doesn't seem to be. He's also just a weird take on the character that I'm not sure I'm in love with just yet.
You know, I'm not down. If there's one thing, it's the only thing in Titans I don't like, and it's their take on Bruce Wayne, which is really disappointing. He's old man Bruce. I mean, he's even got the balding spot in the back. I mean, I can relate.
Yeah.
I can relate. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't strike me as Bruce Wayne. He doesn't. He certainly doesn't strike me as a guy who is Batman. So that's the only thing I'm not on board with. You know, I want to be, but I don't feel like they got Batman right. They got everything else on the show absolutely right. So Titans is not a show about Batman. It's a show about the Titans, and that's the most important thing to remember, is that the main cast of this show, every one of them is just spot on. So couldn't ask for more. I'm kind of hoping that that maybe in season 3 we'll get Cyborg into the fold. Bring him back over from Doom Patrol.
If we're separate from the Arrowverse, why don't we have a Kid Flash here? But maybe it's a matter of just the rights of Kid Flash. I think we've talked about this before. The rights to Roy Harper and Wally West, even though they've mentioned Roy Harper on the Titans, must not be allowed to use them in this continuity.
Yeah, not just yet. Maybe somewhere down the line that could change. I mean, anything could change at any moment, really. As we found out this week with the whole within the last couple of weeks, that HBO Max, which is a service coming out next year, is going to be giving us a Greg Berlanti and Jeff Johns Green Lantern TV show.
Thankful for that. That's the most optimistic news we could possibly get.
And an article that was published today, I believe, by Variety, talked about how the plan going forward is to have a good variety of movies and television shows, but they want to create TV shows on HBO Max and on DC Universe that showcase some characters who might not get a lot of shine or who haven't gotten a lot of shine in recent years. Green Lantern being a priority, not just for television, but for movies, with Green Lantern Corps still being a thing that they are like putting on the front burner. Jeff Johns is supposed to turn in his script and story by the end of this year. And the word in this article that was published is suggesting that the television show and the movie may get even more potentially connected, because Berlanti, Greg Berlanti, who produced Titans and Arrow, pretty much the entire Arrowverse, is possibly coming over to help shepherd that film.
Well, and he is a master of getting things onto the screen. You know, he has established the Arrowverse in a way that we've never had anything like this on television before. Interconnected continuities that have gone for 8 years in Arrow's case, right? And
yeah.
6 years for The Flash, 5 years for Legends. It's pretty amazing the success that it's had as far as perpetually on the air developing these universes. Batwoman is starting off very strong the first year, and we'll see what happens with our next Arrow spinoff next year and the Superman and Lois show potentially to come. Very exciting. So to bring in Berlanti, who has a track record of getting it done, making the adjustments to get these stories into a televised format, both in effects, accommodations, etc., story accommodations, and streamlining characters, I think that's a good move.
Yeah, there is so much potential in what they're trying to do with HBO Max. I can't wait to see how all of this kind of mets itself out, and cautiously optimistic at this point, because as we know, things can and have changed at the last minute when it comes to DC films and even DC television. So it is all still a wait and see, but just reading that article today, as well as seeing that J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot were being courted to either take on Superman or Green Lantern through the Bad Robot production house, you know, it all seems like Walter Hamada, who was named the head of DC Films last January, really has righted the ship a bit. He came in with a singular vision and is the guy in charge. So I don't know if all of his plans are going to work out, but so far, stuff like the release of Aquaman, Shazam, and now the billion-dollar, likely-to-be Oscar-nominated hit Joker, that's a real feather in his cap. So good on him. Good on Walter Hamada, doing a great job so far. Looking forward to what else they may have going on in the future. Certainly looking forward to the R-rated Birds of Prey and James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Yeah, rated R Suicide Squad could be very interesting, especially with Gunn at the helm and all of the people that he attracts, the quirkiness, the madcap stuff that we got in Guardians, but with even fewer boundaries because of the rated R rating. Yeah, following that, I'd say the Wonder Woman template, keeping this an established character, what we did with Aquaman, what we did with Shazam, set the foundation, do it right, and then bring in the other characters, bring in the crossovers as it goes. I'm thankful that we're going to have Black Adam in 2 years.
Oh, God, how awesome is the fact that they said the Justice Society is going to be featured in that movie.
Hawkman, we're getting movie Hawkman.
It's an embarrassment of riches. I think The Rock is going to kick ass as Black Adam. I think that's going to be I think that stands a chance as being like one of the greatest actor to character transformations that we've seen. Not unlike Gal Gadot becoming Wonder Woman. That's the first example that comes to mind. It just seems like such a natural fit. I cannot wait to see that on screen. And hopefully we'll get to see a Shazam sequel, and hopefully it'll be one that involves Black Adam. That's
it'd be very interesting the way they've taken and set up the Shazam character currently with, say, not the New 52, but the Black Adam from 52 in JSA, which is what it feels like we're going to get.
Yeah, very much so.
That I'm hearing. Also, Isis will be involved, not... You know what I mean by Isis, the goddess character. That is the hot rumor that I read, and I believe it, because it feels like they're mining the same ground. So that could be very good to get a live-action Isis on here. And I'm not talking the Legends kind of adaptations that they've done on TV. I'm talking a film, Isis. So yet another strong heroine. Hopefully it'll be somebody who can go toe-to-toe with The Rock.
Oh, it's got to be. There's so much happening there on the film and television side that I think that DC stands on the cusp of really breaking this thing open and filling a void that is going to be kind of empty now that Fox will no longer really exist and no longer be making superheroes movies in the vein of, you know, Logan or Deadpool.
Right.
Like now you have, like DC has an opportunity, of course, to make the classic superhero films, not unlike what the MCU is doing, but they could also make those edgier or more R-rated like adult content, which apparently there is a big market for. Joker made $1 billion.
Joker is the most profitable, you know, smallest budget to highest profit film ever in the history.
Yeah, that's like mind-blowing, isn't it? Like the controversy around that movie, even before it ever really existed, we all said no. As soon as they announced that this thing was happening, we were all like, nah, that sounds stupid.
And then it's like, don't go by... Just wait and see when you have creatives like they did, Todd Phillips, Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, and probably most importantly, Joaquin Phoenix, who was all in on this, you know?
And what I wouldn't give to see that take on Joker face down a new take on Batman.
Mm.
I don't really necessarily want to see a Joker sequel. I would just like to see a Batman movie featuring that take on the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I want. Like, I wouldn't do it immediately with Robert Pattinson's Batman. I would establish it just the way that Matt Reeves seems to be putting it together. You know, Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman. That sounds great. And now, as we learn, John Turturro playing Carmine Falcone.
Yeah, are we getting a long Halloween type story? We'll see. I mean, they've had Falcone and stuff before, but
sure. It does sound like, I mean, that was the hot rumor for a long time, was that it would be long Halloween adapted to film. And with that list of characters, especially with Falcone being there, that seems like it is a stronger possibility. Now, what I'm kind of hoping for is Dark Victory, because I want Dick Grayson.
You want Two-Face and Robin.
Yeah. I want Robin established properly in a live-action film. I've seen it done well on television. I want it in a film universe. I want to see the transformation of Dick Grayson from Robin to Nightwing so that we can finally get that solo movie going. But I digress.
Yes. Well, you know, everybody wants something sure. that they will never get. I'm just kidding. It might happen. There's so many things we have to get to first, I believe.
I'm just going to learn to be satisfied with the television version. I think that's
safe. We never thought we'd get that.
Yeah, it's like, I'm safe there. That's good. I can live with that. So long as they keep giving me that, and as we know, Titans was renewed for season 3, so there will be more Nightwing, and I am here for it. Other things that I am definitely still here for in 2019, Scott Snyder's Justice League run. It has been one hell of a Silver Age meets Justice League Unlimited ride, and unfortunately, it's about to come to an end.
Yeah, going to have maybe what? I'm thinking it'll make a heck of an omnibus if you're still into physical collections. But almost 40 issues of Scott Snyder and Justice League, pretty strong stuff, I got to say.
Yeah.
Reestablishing so many of the villains, taking kind of the core lineup from the classic animated Justice League series and giving us some heroes we hadn't seen in a long time, reestablishing them in the Rebirth continuity. But especially the work that he's done with the villains and Luthor. This has been the best Luthor we've seen in the Rebirth continuity. Great stuff with the follow-up from Metal and the Source Wall. Great new villain as well. And I can't remember her name. What is happening to me?
Perpetua.
There it is.
I am really digging what he's putting down here. I think this is a great new look at Crisis on Infinite Earths on the monitors. their whole backstory, what Perpetua is trying to do. There's even more to it. There are things out there bigger than her that she has talked about throughout the series as like once she appeared. And I think that's where we're headed. I think that the groundwork for the upcoming Crisis event has been laid here. And a lot of that is probably why Scott Snyder is exiting Justice League.
Mm-hmm. That's what it smells like to me, too.
Yep, about to hook back up with maybe Greg Capullo and Jorge Jimenez, I think, on like having this team on art to craft one of the biggest events in DC history. Or at least on the surface, it seems like that's what they're trying to do. I'm here for it. As soon as that happens, I'm buying. And I'm still trying to make a decision on whether or not I stick with Justice League once Robert Venditti comes over.
Are you reading Hawkman, though?
Absolutely, I am. And
well, come on.
Yeah, Hawkman is another book that I am so thankful for because this is a tremendously done book. It is top to bottom, like bar none, one of the absolute best comics on the shelf. You would have a hard time finding anything to complain about in this book. It is paced so well. The art, even after Brian Hitch left after a year, Will Conrad came on for a bit, and I forget who drew it most recently. But man, the artwork has still maintained a high level of consistency. I am so impressed with this book. I'm saying that if Robert Venditti keeps this up, he may be able to claim GOAT status on Hawkman.
Mm, interesting. Well, that Jeff Johns run was very good, and then into Hawkgirl. But so I can't say that's the case. But I'm going to say it's one of the best books going on right now, and it's another case where. If you're curious about it, it's on DCU, at least the first four or five issues, so go for it there.
Yeah, if that doesn't hook you, nothing will.
Yeah, that first issue with Madame Xanadu and Hawkman against the Gorilla Totem, pretty interesting stuff. And seeing his place in the history of the DC Universe has been an absolute blast. Great take on the character. I'm really excited that we're going to see him allegedly in the Black Adam movie too.
Yes, and one of the things I absolutely love about the comic series, I've said it before, I'll keep saying this. A lot of people always complain about trying to get into Hawkman, it can seem kind of daunting because you're like, well, what version of this character counts? Like, what version of his history counts?
And then yes, when Robert the Venditti, answer is yes,
yes, that's it. Like when Robert Venditti took over the book, he was just like all of them. It all counts, and the way he crafted it was nothing short of brilliant. It was Jeff Johns-like in this character reclamation. So you got to get on that. I may follow on to Justice League and see how it goes. I think I've already talked myself into continuing on with Batman with James Tynion, coming on with Tony Daniel, mostly because I absolutely loved Tynion's run on Detective Comics and him writing the main solo Batman book. I think it's hard to imagine that won't be great. So lots of good stuff to continue on there. And you know, to kind of wrap it up a little bit for me, one thing I did want to mention that I am thankful that we didn't get and are not getting, according to Warner Brothers insiders, the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League is not a thing. They will not be spending money to put that together and put it out anywhere.
Here comes my hate mail. Oh, no. Tweet me at JRsBBQ.
I don't care. Like people, hey, send all your hate my way. I'll give you my Twitter handle at the end because I'll say it now. That Snyder cut ain't going to be any better than what you got with Joss Whedon. In fact,
it's
going to be a steaming pile that would have lost probably even more money. So why would Warner Brothers spend millions of dollars to finish it up and put it out? That would be stupid. They're not doing that. because even they are not that dumb. And I saw a picture. I know that they're Zack Snyder's been putting out all these pictures to tease everybody and to get people worked up. And I saw one today that just really drove it home why I don't want to see it. Because that stupid air bubble that they had in the Joss Whedon version so that Atlanteans could talk to each other underwater was not a Joss Whedon idea. That scene was shot by Zack Snyder. That was his idea. That's real dumb.
I've never seen that before in the comics. Don't need to. That was such a weird. You know, the Justice League movie wasn't successful, but
it was not.
Man. Not artistically. I feel bad for Joss Whedon, kind of a thankless job.
Yeah.
But let's face it, it would not be any better had it had the unity of vision of Zack Snyder. It's just, I think there are things that he's just not capable of.
And this was it. Like, it was a steaming pile then. It would be a steaming pile now. And it's best that we all just move on from it. And
get over it, you guys.
Yeah,
jeez.
Let it go. The whole Release the Snyder Cut movement flared up with a whole bunch of the cast recently on Twitter. Boy, that stunk of like corporately driven, didn't it?
It did. It was weird, but I'm kind of scared that there's going to be some kind of thing, and we'll have this debate forever. I don't think it's a matter of the, you know, Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, which they were able to go in and was definitely a little bit better, but we'll see. I just want to move on. Let's make more great movies and forget about the crappy ones that we failed at.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much more that we can do right now. There are so many good ones, or ones that at least look really good, that are coming up. I think that the future for DC films is very bright. I think that the one thing that they really need to do above all else is to wash their hands of the Zack Snyder of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that go. Let it move into the future, and I guarantee you more people are going to wind up loving these DC movies if we can just get over all of that. That needs to just be done. So with that, I can move on to my final thing. The final thing that I have been thankful for this year, and that is my co-host, Todd Weber.
Oh, stop.
No.
You slay me.
Yes, like the manager himself, the guy who makes this show happen. Because as most of our, I would hope most of our listeners know this by now, Todd produces a great number of shows every single week, from Hard Travel and Fanboys to, of course, this show. I'm sure that we can name off like a whole bunch of others that you're working on like every day. Like, you are a busy, busy individual mixing, editing, making us sound way better than we actually are, crafting the music for this show, which Todd also did. It's just amazing, Todd, that we've been on this journey for a little while now. We do several other shows together as well, but this is one, whenever I pitched it to you, I wasn't sure that you were going to be on board with it. I was like, well, is this a show that anybody but me is going to be interested in even doing? that was a strong possibility that, you know, after the whole post-crisis management thing, that was just going to be the last idea that I had that was going to move the needle. But you said yes, you jumped on board, and we have had some really great episodes of this show. It's been a fantastic season, and I thank you, sir, because I credit you for any and all success that this show has had.
I appreciate it. The pleasure has been all yours, but we will hopefully get to work planning on season two one of these days. We'll get through it. I got to say, I do the best I can with what limited free time I have to do this. I do not have as much time as I'd like to work on podcasts and shows, but I seem to maximize what I can do, and been really proud of what we've done with all the shows that have come through our feed lately, and look for the march to episode 200 on my longest running show, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, here on the network. I'm looking forward to seeing what's in store. And with the next few episodes.
Listen to the show every week. Greg and Nick are great. Listen to, you know, all the shows that that Todd is producing. You know, we hopefully will have another episode of Marvel Age one day. Once we can,
we will see. It's tough during football season.
Yeah, it really is. It's tough to get any of all that reading done too, because that's those lists can be a lot. But we have we've had a great first season here of DC4U. As Todd said, we are going to be in the planning phase for season two. More info on that coming later. So, you know, watch out on our social media feeds for any new updates on that and any other projects that we may be working on in the future. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Russell_Sellers. I've been doing a daily DC reading lately. So if you're enjoying the DC Comics content you're getting here, I am telling you guys a little bit about what I'm reading, both classic and modern stuff. Usually get a couple of comics in a day. I'll post up about that. You can follow along. Tell me what you think about it, or maybe you'll discover something that you want to read yourself. You know, also get ready for a bunch of food pics and pics of me and my girlfriend Elizabeth as we do our travels and food adventures. So if you're into all that, you're in for a treat. If not, well, you'll be, you know, pretty bored out of your mind. But it is what it is on Instagram. Now, Todd.
Yeah, my Instagram is currently on hiatus. If you want to follow along and stick around to the next run of Hawaiian Shirt per day posts I'll do in August, you can follow me at Guitars of Green. I have a busier social media feed at Todd Weber Guitar on Twitter, but I solemnly warn you that the content may be offensive / controversial / boring, depending if you don't care about the NBA. So there's a lot of basketball takes on my feed these days.
I live for the basketball hot takes that I don't understand.
Yeah, it's going over almost everybody's heads. Lots of inside jokes / obscure references, especially if I've had a glass of wine or two.
You know, Drunk Todd on Twitter is one of the most entertaining things that you'll ever follow. His wrestling hot takes are great, too, so make sure you get in on that.
Passive rest Todd, though. I don't know. Get that guy out of there.
They're fun, though. I have a great time. Oh, but anyway, go follow us on the social media machines. Thank you guys again for listening to this first season of DC4U. This has been our Thanksgiving / current events episode. We will be back for season two, I hope sometime next year. We will see you all then.
Happy Thanksgiving, DC4U.
DC4U.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the PlaceToBeNation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The PlaceToBeNation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.